thanks to the Forum 6 Tamworth and Wagga Wagga and the Odeon 5 Orange. It's the Talking Flickster podcast with JT and Grant Lee.
Yes, hello. Great to be back for our Flickster once again. Mr. Lee, hello. How are you? You're looking a bit sweaty today. It's been hot this week, hasn't it?
Well, it's been damn hot this week. And you know what? The best thing about being hot is you go into the cinema and it's nice and cool. It's so nice.
I would love nothing more than to come and use your aircon. I've got to be honest. And you know I would.
I know.
And then you'd ask me to leave.
Yeah, I would, because you haven't got a ticket. You wouldn't buy a ticket. That's why.
I would never do that, Mr. Lee. I'd never do it because it's illegal. Although it is you. I'm sure you'd let me get away with it. So.
you work for the business, so hey.
Right. Yes, that's very true. But for everybody else, make sure you have a ticket. Grantley does random cinema checks. And, of course, if you don't have a ticket, you know exactly what's going to happen.
It's good to see we've still got our sound effects for 2026.
Well, I extended the budget, so we're okay. We're up for another year now.
I'm good.
We'll keep the taser there just for anything that might pop up. Mr. Lee, our Flickster podcast, this is where, of course, we send one of our listeners off to see a movie. They get to come on and tell us all about it, whether they like it, they don't like it. And also we get the all-important Chalk Top score a bit later on as well, out of 5 Chalk Tops. And the movie this week, Mr. Lee, it's a good one. And this is one you've seen.
Yeah, look, I'm actually a Neil Diamond fan. I do like his music. I never got to see him live. And yes, I am that old JT. I'll just say it now.
Oh, I wasn't even gonna bother going there. I already know that. I think everyone knows that.
Song Sung Blue, it is such a remarkable story, and I can't wait to talk to our Talking Flickster to find out what they thought of the movie. But it is just so many people have been coming into the movie saying, oh, can I see the Neil Diamond movie? And it's like, you can, but it's not actually about Neil Diamond.
No.
It's about a guy who is a tribute band to Neil Diamond, and Mike actually plays Neil Diamond. So it's not actually all about him. It's about this guy named Mike and his story. And so a lot of people are quite shocked at that when they find that out, which I was one of those people before I researched.
Well, you should have researched first, shouldn't you? That'll teach you next time.
I should have. And you know what? When I researched after the movie, I found out a lot more. So, yeah.
All right.
It's very interesting.
Well, we look forward to hearing about, not just what our Talking Flickster thought, but also what Mr. Lee's research suggests. And we'll get to that after we have a listen to Song Sung Blue.
I'm not a songwriter. I'm not a sex symbol. I just want to entertain people.
I don't want to be a hairdresser. I want to sing. I want to dance. I want to garden. I want a cat.
I need something big. I need something new.
What do you think?
You don't want to be a Neil Diamond impersonator. You want to be a Neil Diamond interpreter.
I was looking for the right way to say it, and you just came right out and said it.
Tell your mama, girl, we can't stay long.
We should call ourselves Lightning and Thunder.
We got things we gotta catch up on.
So you be Lightning and I be Thunder.
Yeah. You.
That is not very professional of me, but I've been wanting to do it for like a whole.
You really have to call him Lightning? It's kind of weird.
He makes.
Okay.
My dad in Vietnam, sometimes he'd have to crawl over dead bodies. So yeah, he used to drink.
I could really use for you to tell me I'm doing the right thing.
I think you are. Oh, I was scared you were gonna hit your head. Bad things happen over and over, and I just want to sing and I want to shine.
Just say, you know, can't pay you anything right now, that's all.
Came here for you, brother.
I wouldn't go any shorter than this.
I want it to ripple and wave when the wind blows my shirt.
Wind in a bar? How?
Like a leaf blower.
Do you have one?
Sure.
Disappear in the music.
You two always know what to do.
I can't. can't thank Neil, because every thank you I got belongs to you, doll. You're my August night, my September morn, you're my crackling Rosie.
Wow. How good is that? And I actually saw JT bobbing along to Sweet Carolina.
Yeah.
He's just doing the... dun, dun, dun,
well, so are you, in all fairness. So,
yeah,
you know.
In all fairness,
it gets everyone.
Look, you love the music, so you got to do it. I get the chance today to actually introduce our talking flickster, and I'd like to welcome Dan to the podcast. How are you, Dan?
Woo! I'm all great, JT. How are we?
Hello, my friends. Oh, we're awesome. We're always awesome when we do this. And we get have a catch up with you and talk about a stunning movie. Now, gents, before we go anywhere, especially for you, Dan, because I think Grant's already answered this question, but your favourite Neil Diamond song?
Honestly, Crunchy Granola Sweet turned up full bore, Hot August Night Live version.
Yes.
Hard to beat.
That's awesome. Yeah, very good. Very good. And,
can I tell a very quick Neil Diamond Hot August Night story?
Well, the floor is yours, mate.
Very quickly. When I was a young fella, we're going back about 40 years, my father, who wasn't a big music fan, but he had Hot August Night on album, which I think most households probably had in those 70s and 80s, and I spilt a cup of cordial all over the album.
Oh,
and I never understood as a young fella why that was the angriest I'd ever seen my father, ever. Until I became an adult and got into Neil Diamond, and, I think I did well not to get a flogging.
I think you did very well not to get a flogging, my friend, yes.
Because the album was destroyed. One of the greatest albums in the history of music. Yeah.
Yeah.
And did he get another one, Dan? Another album?
No. He migrated on the CDs.
Now we all go and get it off Spotify. So my, how things have changed very quickly. And do we get to hear the Crunchy Granola in the movie? Yes.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah,
early on.
Yeah, which there are some. I have to say, one of my favourites now, and it's because of this movie, is Suleiman.
Yeah, it's great, especially with the drums.
Yeah, and Dan will understand because when Mike wanted to open up his tribute show or the experience, that's the one he wanted to start with, and everyone's saying, no, don't do it. And now I love that song. It's a good thing.
Yeah, it's a banger.
We better ask a few questions about the movie, Dan,
because
that's why we're here. Well, let's start things off. Did you know anything about the story about Mike Sardina?
I had no idea. Similar to what you gentlemen were talking about in your opening, I didn't do any research. I went into the movie assuming it was a Neil Diamond biopic. Now, we've had the Elton John one recently, the Queen one. Mm. There's another one. What was the other one? There's been three big
Bruce
ones.
Springsteen was another one, too.
I just went in assuming. There's been a few. And I just went in assuming, it's Neil Diamond's turn. I think it was a Bruce Springsteen one recently. So I was pleasantly surprised. So I had no idea about the backstory of Mike and was it Claire?
Yes. Claire. Yeah, so Dina, who was played by Kate Hudson, who I have to say I didn't know Kate Hudson could sing.
Nah, well, I had to look up, following the movie just to make sure that it was her singing, not miming, and, early candidate for an Oscar, just quietly.
Oh, well, I agree.
She was amazing. Both of them. Amazing performance by Kate Hudson.
Yeah, she really, really stole the show. And when she was singing Walking After Midnight and, even with you, the chemistry together, they just worked so well together. Their sound and it was just incredible. Even when they weren't singing, the chemistry together was really good.
Yeah, no, I can't argue with that.
And, gents, the buzz has also been about the wonderful Hugh Jackman. Now, I've got to say, he started one of my favourite musicals, which was The Greatest Showman. I thought that was absolutely phenomenal. I thought he was amazing in that. He owned it. And they're saying that he's actually gone to another level in this film. Would you guys agree?
I think Hugh Jackman's at his best when he's in a role where he can perform as well as act.
I mean, one
of my all-time favourite movies is a little Australian movie called Paperback Hero, and it was one of Hugh Jackman's earliest film roles.
Yeah, very
because he'd done a lot of stage and theatre prior, and I've always really enjoyed that movie. Then I watched him in Swordfish, which I guess was one of his first real Hollywood blockbusters. But I've never seen him in a bad movie, but I've enjoyed some more than others. But what I saw in Song Sung Blue was that was Hugh Jackman's best performance that I've seen.
Yeah,
I agree. And, you know, I really hope many years ago after The Greatest Showman came out, a few years later, Hugh did a touring and he actually did The Greatest Showman songs. And I actually took the family and we went, because we happened to be in Perth at the time and it was on and we went, you know what, let's do it. I really hope he does a Mike Sedina, impersonating of it, because I reckon he would kill it. And if he got Kate to come along with him, that would be a huge, huge concert. It would fill...
Lightning and thunder at the Capitol Theatre of Hamworth.
Oh, now, how good would that go? That would go very well. I think they would have to have 30, 40 shows just to fit people in, I think. Yeah, it would go really well. But Hugh, he is just remarkable. And like we were saying before too, Kate Hudson, she is such an incredible, talented lady. I've always watched her in comedies and always find, oh, yeah, she's really good. You know, and a few dramas, she's really good. But this... it was the next level for her too. I can see Oscars big time for both of them. So, I'm really excited to see what happens. And if they don't get a nom at least, it'll be very sad.
Oh, look, I'll go out and say now, and I'm certainly no expert, but I think I can't see how there'll be a better performance than Kate Hudson for Best Actress at the Academy Awards. I guess because Hugh Jackman, you know he's going to be great, especially in those roles where he can sing and perform as well. But I had never seen that side of Kate Hudson. And on top of all the other, I guess we'll talk about, I think she played the perfect part.
Yeah, no, I agree.
If there's such a thing.
Is there another actor that surprised you?
Well, not surprised me, because apart from those two, I mean, there are a couple of like Fisher Stevens and Jim Belushi who were both in the movie with supporting roles, but the rest of the cast were, to me, I wasn't familiar with, and I really enjoyed that because, again, I wasn't comparing them to anyone. I thought the daughter, Claire's daughter, played a great role. Ella Anderson, I believe, is her name. She's the glue that stuck the combined family together. And then, I mean, I don't know how much we want to give away here in the chat, but she has some life-changing things happening at the time as the family's kind of unraveling as well, but she's still the strength that keeps it all together.
Yeah. And I think she also had a very good special bond with Mike because they kind of had that little banter, you know, and they didn't like each other first, but they did actually, I think, grow to love each other, especially when she was calling him Dad or Papa. She kept calling him, which is so nice. I think that's a lovely thing to do.
Yeah. So. Yeah, where her son called him Dad towards the end, that got me. The onions were getting cut in the aisle behind me.
Yeah, I'm sure Grant Lee was breaking down a few tears as well. No
doubt
about it.
I would admit it.
I
admit it.
Dan, obviously Neil Diamond's music, it's classic, you know, it's a bit old school. Was that the vibe that came across in the movie, or would you say it was a cross with a bit of modern, or was it a mix of both?
Oh, good question, JT. Look, it took me a while to realise when the movie was actually set. Because I don't recall it ever coming up on the screen saying, like, 1992, for instance. I may have missed that. And obviously there's a part of the movie where they're asked to support a very well-known, world-famous band, which made me realise, okay, I've got a good idea where this is set now. I just think Neil Diamond's music's timeless. It's one of those artists, like, I'm 48 and I grew up hearing that sort of music, you know, on the car holidays and, you know, the parents' car, and then you get an appreciation for yourself, and then you sort of play it on your however you play your music, and then your kids enjoy it, and the next thing they're surprising you playing that without prompting. And I just think it's just one of those generational artists that never really had a bad song, and I think it's because it's and it's Neil Diamond, you know you're going to enjoy it. And then it's just, I don't know, I think it's just what you brought up on. And lucky for me, Neil Diamond was something I heard a lot of as a young fella.
Yes. I will let you know, I don't think they did bring up a date when it was set. And I think you're right. As soon as they said that band name, which we won't repeat because it'll give it away because it's quite funny, that part, I think that's when I realised, oh, okay, that's when it was as well. So, yeah, because I don't remember seeing a date.
Well, that was a part of me made me think, is this really based on a true story? Have I got my wires crossed here? Just a bit of a fantasy, but like Forrest Gump. But no, it was fantastic. And then, you know, when they performed together, it was a really, really cool moment to that film.
Was this a 90s grunge rock band? Is that what is that the vibe I'm getting? Or are we talking more old?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, there you go. Okay. I think I know who we are.
Yeah, but not as grungy as some, but
they're well known. They're very well known. Everyone will know who they are.
Even flow about things. Yeah. How's that? Especially, flow about things. Yeah.
Yeah, especially now they're really well known. But when you're this age and you don't know some of the bands, you know, like I don't know some of the kids' bands that they listen to.
Yeah.
Like even the other week they went to see some DJ that was playing in Sydney, and is it D Looper or something or other? I've never heard of it. So, yeah. There you go. I've never heard. And so I can understand why Mike didn't know who this band was until, explained.
That was very funny.
It was a great scene. It was one of the greatest scenes. Now, I know this is going to sound really silly, Dan, but do you think the music did play a huge part in this movie?
Of course. Yeah, of course it did. I mean, you'd be silly to say it didn't. And again, it's a difficult one because Hugh Jackman, like, is just such a great actor, but he would have to be a Neil Diamond fan himself.
Yeah.
I don't know how he could have played that role if it was under sufferance. I mean, you get paid lots and lots of money, I know, but he just looked to be just having the time of his life.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you'll think of all the songs. There were 16 different songs of Neil Diamond's that was played, and a total of 52 minutes of all the songs. So that's how much the songs played a part for this over 2-hour movie. So, it's just
incredible. And that's the final cut. You can imagine there would have been more that probably made the cutting room floor.
Yeah, yeah, exactly right. So true, yeah.
And what kind of audience do you think would suit this best, Dan? Because while, yes, you get a few of the older demo going to see it, but also I'd imagine there'd be a younger audience as well that would embrace Neil Diamond's music.
Yeah, I think so. Look, you don't have to be a Neil Diamond fan, though, to love the movie. It's a brilliant story, especially if you don't know the background, because it is based on a true story. It sucked me right in. Like, it's a very emotional movie, and they do throw a couple of curveballs at you when you think something's going to happen and it doesn't, but then it does in the end. And it's sort of, as I mentioned before, a bit like A Star Is Born. You know where it's headed and you don't want to see it head there, but you sort of know that's the story they're telling. Sorry, JT. It's the Anyone who loves film and loves the story will love the movie. Any Hugh Jackman fan or Kate Hudson fan will love it. I just think you just got to go on there being prepared to maybe take some Kleenex.
I like hearing that. That's good. At least everyone can come prepared. Because I hate that when you go to a movie like that and you don't bring tissues or anything, and then it's a bit awkward. You've got to use like your T-shirt or...
Yeah. I was actually wiping my eyes away. Wiping my eyes and then popcorn butter and they were all stinging.
Oh. Look, I was doing the same thing and I didn't want the lights to come up and people could see that I had tears in my eyes and it was all, it was, but they were, it's just such a beautiful story. And I don't think you need to be, as Dan said, you don't have to like any of the actors because you can't really tell it's Hugh Jackman or Kate Hudson for quite a while. Because they've done up in costume. But, it's just, Tell me, would you watch this movie again or this type of movie that is music and movies? Would you do this again?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, hands down. I'd watch this movie again.
Yeah, so would I. And I think I'd pick up a lot more in this.
I know I'd enjoy the movie. I'd enjoy it more for the entertainment side of it, less the story, because, you know, it's like, you know, once you know, you know. But it's one of those movies, you know, you can see, you know, you buy your favourite DVD and you chuck it on a Sunday afternoon or a wet evening, or, you know, you just want a couple of hours where you just chill out. You know you're going to have a good time. It's one of those movies. It'll be a personal favourite, I think, for a lot of people over time to come.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, and I think the amount of people that are going to the cinemas now to see it is incredible. Right, well, we've come to that time now. We've got to go to the freezer, Dan. Let me just go and open it up. I've got 5 Choc Tops that I'm going to hand you. How many Choc Tops are you going to give Song Sung Blue?
Oh, assuming I don't eat any of them, Grant.
No, you can eat them all.
He's got to give us the Choc Tops for the score. Grant, you know what? Grant will give you an extra one, okay? That's all right. If you want to give it 5, you can give it 5, all right?
Look, I don't know if there's such a thing as a perfect movie. If I had one fault with the movie, the story, it sort of progressed along at times and didn't realise how much time had lapsed, like in real time as far as the movie. That would be the only critique I would have, but it certainly didn't take away from it. And I guess by the end of the movie, it sort of explains itself, like it makes sense. So maybe that was done by design as well. But I would give this 4.75 out of 5. That's only because I've had a quick bite off the top of one of the Choc Tops.
Well, I can't give it the huge blow up for this one because I've got to get a 5 for that, but that's all right. We'll give it a round of applause. It's pretty good. It's a very good score. I think I thought it was going to get a 10, Mr. Lee. I thought that's where Dan was going. Oh. Yeah.
Can I tell you my score?
It's close to the perfect movie. Yeah, I'd never want to say that there's something that just couldn't be improved on. Who am I to say? But I just, if I was ever going to give a 5 out of 5, that'd be it. So I'll go 4.75 out of 5.
No, we don't like fence sitters on this show, Dan. All right, Mr. Lee.
I'm going to say this is a big, big call. This is the best movie I've seen this year.
Wow.
That's one of your best. That's one of your best. Yeah, I'll pay that. It was very good.
I would give it 4.5 stars as well.
Like, okay, we'll give it another round.
I can't fault it. I think it took me on an emotional ride. I laughed. I had tears. It had everything. The music was brilliant. I thought it was really good. And I'm like, Dan, I can't give it something 5 because next time I see something, I'll go, oh, yeah, that's what I really, yeah, that'll be. But you've got to go and see it. This is the movie everyone should go see.
You're both harsh scorers, seriously, you know. Like, you could have just given it a 5. But anyway, that's okay, gents. That's still a 9 and... Well, it's a 9.75. Yeah. It'd have to be, right? I'm actually be verging on the out of 10. That's pretty good. So that's wonderful. Really good. So I reckon it's a movie on the cards to see this weekend or this week.
You will not be disappointed. Go see this movie. You need to see it.
100% agree with Grant. It's a brilliant movie and a great way to spend a couple of hours. It's, you'll thank everyone later.
Yeah, great.
Absolutely.
I do love that. It's very good.
Yeah, well, thank you so much, Dan. We really appreciate you coming on the podcast and giving your thoughts on Song Sung Blue. Thank you.
My pleasure. Thanks for the invite. Love to do it again.
Great to have you on board, my friend. You have a wonderful day. Mr. Lee, we're getting out of here now. We're back next week again with another flick. So what's that movie next week? What is it? Is it something cool?
It is. It's really cool. It's one called Grand Prix of Europe.
Oh, cool. That's the animation, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And we've got a little kid coming on to tell us all about the movie. So I'm a bit excited about that because we haven't had any kids for a while. Eli was probably the last one a few months back. So, yeah, it'll be good.
Well, I look forward to that. That will be next Friday morning. We'll catch you then. Mr. Lee, much on for the weekend?
Look, I'm actually going to see a movie called The Coral. because I actually really do like wartime movies. So, because I actually went and saw Nuremberg as well last week. I saw two movies. So that's pretty big for me.
Yeah, that's very big. So this is what happens when you go on holiday, right? You can go and see movies, okay?
Right.
Your New Year's resolution's working out very well, see, when you stick to it. It is.
Yes. So no more holidays.
Okay, no more holidays. No more holidays. All right. Well, have a wonderful weekend and we will catch you next week. Have a good one.
Bye for now.
Want to be our next Talking Flickster? Register now at forum6.com.au or odeon5.com.au. Until next time, we'll see you at the movies.